Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
And in this episode, we are going to be debriefing the season 3 premiere of The Bold Type. It's back.
Wow. I feel like the time just flew by. I mean, we complained at the season finale, like, what's going to happen? It's too long to wait. And now it's already spring 2019.
I know. You know, I think Charmed and Black Lightning helped.
Oh, yeah.
Helped us handle that break. And then mm-hmm. we got One Day at a Time also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvel's Runaways. Man, we had a lot of good shows.
Yeah. But I mean, we started out this podcast recapping season 2 of The Bold Type. So we're going to come back to the show that got us started.
Yeah. As long as we're getting queer lady of color representation.
Oh, yeah.
We will be debriefing this show.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but, you know, you said you don't know what the new normal means. I mean, I think that this episode was very aptly titled. A lot of things are changing for mm-hmm. our fab trio. I think that this episode did a pretty good job tackling, like, the processing of grief that goes with a breakup.
Yeah.
And I kind of appreciated how they showed, you know, like, because I think a lot of people go through that where they're like, ugh, like, this is stupid. I shouldn't be that upset about it. I'm just going to, like, put on a brave face because I don't really want to talk about it that much. But, like, you know, sometimes you just need to, like, process.
Before we dive into the episode, I feel like we got to back up a little bit. So Amir and I haven't been as engaged with some of the hiatus drama around Nicole Boucheri not coming back as a series regular. When they started shooting and it became clear that Adina was not going to be featured nearly as much in season 3 as in season 2, people were just, like, hurt and upset, and they felt betrayed, because I think the showrunners have used this ship to, like, promote how progressive the show is, tried to really leverage, I think, the queer fan base. And I think there were a lot of fans who felt a little used and betrayed. So, like, Nicole Boucheri was promoted to a series regular for season 2, and we got her, but we didn't get enough of her in season 2. And so that was really frustrating, because all the scenes we got were from Kat's perspective. So we didn't see all the stuff happening for Adina. For me, because it became clear that Kat and Adina were not right for each other right now, in our recap of the season 2 finale, both of us sort of agreed that Kat and Adina aren't right for each other, at least right now. And that the best way forward would be to give them the Tibet treatment. Tibet as in Tina and Bet on the L word, right?
Yeah.
If we have them separated, both of them grow as people and then come back, then they could be, like, endgame. But the issue is that pulling them apart means we don't get to see Nicole Boucheri's beautiful face as Adina on the show on the regular. And so that's where this season premiere hurt for me. We didn't get Adina. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like that they are not going away, like, shying away from Kat's queerness. I mean,
yeah,
this episode sort of stayed true to the format of previous seasons, where for the most part they have, like, an equal balance of each girl's storyline. Mm-hmm. And Kat's storyline, even though it was missing Adina specifically, mm-hmm. it still was, like, about her and her queerness and processing that. And I mean, we'll get to a little bit later when we recap, but she was even asked to speak specifically about that at, like, a mm-hmm. Scarlet event.
Yeah.
So, I'm liking that direction, because it makes me hopeful that, like, the show is still sticking to this as a storyline in general. So I think it's reasonable to expect the Tibet treatment, honestly, that they could bring her back later, like, once Kat's kind of grown. Although the Tibet treatment, to be fair, was more that they both needed growth.
Yes.
Because the story still followed both of them.
Kat is going through her very first lesbian relationship breakup. This is queer heartbreak. And I have to say that I have not seen amicable breakups where it's a clean breakup. Usually people mm-hmm. double dip and then they backslide or whatever. And they're like, and it's not actually clear that they broke up, but, like, they legit broke up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just dive in to this episode.
I mean, this episode opens, like, it doesn't open with this. It actually opens with some, like, gross straight sex, but, I know we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to spend any more time of our lives.
None of
that. So our storyline of interest opens with Kat looking at pictures of her and Adina on social media, looking at Adina's Instagram. And I'm just like, oh, girl, we've all been there. Like, I felt that. I was like, ooh, yeah. that's a very real thing. And then when the phone fell on her face, I was just like, oh my God, this is like,
we've been there.
This could be me. This is like the hashtag relatable content that I have been waiting to see on my screen.
I did like that they were processing her grief using social media because that's how we process our breakups now. And we put on a face, a happy face after a breakup to like mm-hmm. show the other person that we're doing okay, even if we're not. But what the opening sequence did do, even though it gave us some unnecessary hetero-naked times, what it did do is set the tone and say, hey, Kat and Kadena are the emotional core of this show. Yeah, sure, like Sutton and Jane are having fun, but like Kat's going through a breakup and the Kadena relationship was the emotional core of the show.
Right, right. And sort of setting the tone for the episode of like, you know, I feel like every episode kind of one of them is going through something and needs the support of the other two. So it was like, you know, this is Jane and Sutton's turn to be there for Kat again.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I want to applaud the show on is the way they show the use of social media. You know, we always talk about having representation in the writer's room when it comes to like female representation, people of color, queer mm-hmm. people, et cetera. But I think that we're seeing, and again, I do not know who is in the writer's room on the show, but I think we're seeing evidence of like young people in the writer's room.
Yes, yes.
Because so often you see use of social media or even just like any sort of cell phone based communication on TV shows or in movies. And like, it seems a little like off, you know, it's like people don't actually do that. Or like, that's not how that works or something like that, you know, where it's like, I don't think they really put that much thought into it. And it seems like someone much older who's not adept at those things mm-hmm. probably came up with it.
Yeah.
So this show, I think, did a good job of it, not only capturing kind of the way social media affects these girls' lives, but also because of where they work. And like, yes. I mean, Kat's job is centered around, you know, social media and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I think they did a really good job kind of bringing that to life and making it very relatable.
No, there are definitely millennials in the writer's room.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the three girls are in the car going to work and Kat gets a text from Adina asking for the tracking number of her package because Kat was supposed to send Adina all of her stuff back, but she has yet to do that at all. And
Oh my God.
It's rough. It's that rough. You can feel
hurt.
It.
That hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's painful. It's painful to watch her go through this. And like, it takes a long ass time to get over your first real love. It makes sense that Kat was like in denial and not ready to ship Adina's stuff back to her.
Yeah, because it's hard to like go through that stuff too. But also I like that they were showing this as an amicable breakup. You know, it's not like they were like outwardly fighting or lashing out, but like it is a breakup. And like the fact that it was a clean cut is helped by Adina's lifestyle and just like she's like always traveling and stuff. So, you know, if you're like living mm-hmm. in the same area and like running into each other and you have the same friends, then it's really hard to have a clean break. Yeah. I mean, I was like, wow, this is like as mature a breakup as you could really ask for.
Right. Oh, I know, God, I know. It's so hard. Like even talking about it, we're grieving too.
I know.
We're grieving the loss of our only Muslim lesbian on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, do we have others? Because I want to know if there are any others.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple others, I think, in films. Two films that I can think of, but I don't know of any other TV show. But
then what we find out is like Kat is so in denial that she's afraid to tell people at work. Mm-hmm. The new digital media guy talks to Kat about all the successes she's had and how amazing it is that she's a queer woman of color and she's got this cool artist girlfriend, blah, 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 blah. And also like start posting stuff on your personal social media accounts because you were part of the brand too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Kat doesn't have the guts to share that, you know, she and Adina have broken up. She can't even verbalize it really.
Yeah.
And she doesn't even use the term ex-girlfriend until the tail end of the episode. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But she keeps that to herself and then like goes on this, I don't know, Instagram parade for most of the episode where she's just like selfie, 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 smile, 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 cute, kissy face, post, blah, blah.
Right, right. Right. And it's like the cycle we've all seen slash been through before where like you're trying to post happy stuff and then you end up stalking your ex's page and then – and then Adina comments on one of Kat's posts and says, always.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. Kat freaks out. We freaked out.
Oh. Oh my God. If you remember, like season 2 finale was called We'll Always Have Paris. And that is exactly the caption that Kat posts with that photo. She like posts a little caption that says, We'll Always Have Paris. And then that's when Adina responds, always.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so hard. You know, I have to say, I'm angry that we didn't get more of a breakup scene. I mean, it would have been tough to stomach, but because they're such an important part of the emotional core of the show, the fact that we didn't get to see the actual breaking of up.
I feel like that's how much they would have shown of the straight couples if that's like what they chose to do with those storylines and they did break up.
Fair.
Plus, I know we want this to be realistic, but we can't show all 14 consecutive hours of lesbians debriefing and processing.
But I live for that. Fangirl sads are the best type of sads.
I agree.
Because it's not your own, you know?
Yeah.
It's.
I get it.
Oh my God. Okay, fine, fine. fair. Fan fiction it is. We'll leave everything, all the goodies to fan fiction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you're right. They probably wouldn't have given that much more than what we got. But I think the reason why it stings for people still is that they were really, like, I think fans were really, really holding on to Adina as, like, the representation they'd been wanting. And
right.
The leading ship on the fleet was Kadena, okay? For the fans to be promised all that and then to not get it is, I think the devastation is worse than if it had been either of the straight ships.
I do agree with that, but I do have to say, sometimes I feel like we're a little bit in our bubble and like the media that we get is through like a queer filter. So I'm not really sure that that's like the ship that's like the face of the show. I mean, like definitely for queer people, that's what we get. But I do feel like
oh my God.
Jane and Sutton, I mean, like it's like whoever... whichever one you're a fan of, that's inevitably the one you end up seeing more of, right? Because it's like you kind of like follow the appropriate accounts and stuff online and you're like reading up on that news more. And like, so that kind of becomes like the forefront of the show. But I really feel like they've sort of advertised equally for the other two. And if not even slightly more than Kadena. But also I think that queer fans need to take a step back and like realize that, you know, like I was saying at the beginning, they're not erasing Kat's queerness. We still have a queer woman of color like lead on the show. And so
you're right.
You know, even though like we're gonna mourn the loss of Adina, one, she could still come back later if it's the Tibet treatment.
She's definitely coming back.
Yeah. And two,
we just don't know how often.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And two, Kat, I think, is still gonna explore her newfound queerness. And like, hopefully we'll get to see some of that, like, you know, more awkward dating that we saw a little bit when they open up the relationship.
Yeah. Also the chances that you just come out and your first relationship right out the closet is the last one. The chances of that are pretty low.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like as much as we want like the original relationship on a show to be endgame, because that's the one that we like get really into, it's not like a very realistic depiction of how life works. And we know that like your first queer relationship is like, you know, you fall for it the hardest and it's hard to get over and blah, blah, blah. So I'm okay with the way it's going so far. Of course, I'm very sad about this breakup, but I'm not like upset with the show or like the writers specifically, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I love that they did showcase Kat's queerness. And when she goes up and she takes the microphone and then she says that whole thing about it's a beautiful day to be queer. I was like, okay, that's really cute. But the digital media guy was right in that it was all broad, vague statements, nothing specific, nothing like cuts to the truth.
Right, right.
And it reminded me of when like a baby dyke gets up to the megaphone for the first time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
They're like real excited, like, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to like speak to the community in front of the megaphone. And then they get up in front of the megaphone and they're so self-conscious about what they're going to say. So they speak in platitudes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have witnessed this firsthand. So that's how I know. But
yeah, that's definitely true.
I have been that baby dyke. That's how I know.
Oh, of course. Why am I not surprised? So let's back up a little bit. Before that scene, I was hoping actually to get a little bit of like Kat flirty action when she says she's going out to a lesbian bar. And I was like really disappointed that she took Alex with her, even though I like Alex as a person. I just feel like...
Don't bring a straight guy.
Yeah, I'm very against like inviting straight men specifically into queer spaces because straight men have like all other spaces open to them.
Yes. Or we should say like cis straight men.
Yes, cis het, white, able-bodied straight men. You know, all of the things. So and I know Alex is a black man, but I still feel like it's not something that I would like openly disapprove of if like I saw it happening in real life, but it was just a little like, oh, Kat, okay, fine. You know,
you know, like when we were in that lesbian bar, all I could think of, There is not a lesbian bar with this much space in New York.
Oh, hell no. And it's like full of femmes, like who obviously have money to spend on clothing. Come on. Gay people are butch and poor. Everybody knows that.
But gay people are femme, but we have the whole butch scarcity problem.
I know. But I'm just like, there's going to be like some butch girl with a mullet and like cut off flannels. And like, you know, like we need to see that in a corner somewhere because they're there. They're at every bar, every gay bar.
Yeah. I mean, like Cubbyhole in New York is tiny. It's cute, but it's small. I mean, I saw that space and my first thought was unrealistic. And then Alex being like a straight guy in that space, also unrealistic. And maybe this is Kat being a baby gay and not realizing it's not cool to bring cishet men.
I definitely think that that's what it was. And because I feel like in my experiences, when I've seen straight guys at like specifically like lesbian nights at bars or whatever, like, I feel like they feel it. They feel like the stink eye. You know what I mean? They're not like specifically like harassed or anything, but they can like definitely feel like the negative vibes coming from everyone else of like, what are you doing here? Like, unless a guy is very openly and obviously gay, it's like, why? Why are you here?
Well, even Alex was there. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm that welcome here. I was like, yes, you're probably not. Although I will say that I have mistakenly given stink eye to mask gay guys that I mistook for straight.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's okay. I'm sure they were understanding. Anyway, I do like, obviously Alex, like true to character, he's not being a creep. He's being respectful. He knows that this isn't like his space, whatever. He sits down with Kat and, you know, they get real with each other. Kat's been drinking all night. She's like forcing the fun and it's like painful to watch kind of, you know, like she's like smiling and taking selfies 1 second and then turns and is like not feeling it, you know? So Alex gives her some like, you know, really kind words. Even she says later, he said some really nice things that I needed to hear. And then they get up to leave and she stumbles a little bit and then kisses him, which I was like, why? And then immediately they're like, nope, that's not going to happen.
Oh my God. I was so scared.
I'm happy for that recovery. But at the same time, I was like, why was that even necessary? And like later when she says like she says this to Patrick and gives it as an example for like why she's a hot mess right now. And I'm like, I still feel like she was a hot mess without that needing to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think that needed to be featured on the show. That was not a decision that should have been made. I don't know. I was very anti that kiss because that is firmly categorized in my mind as unnecessary hetero nonsense.
I did laugh when Patrick looked at Alex and said, you're underutilized. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, are you talking about at Scarlet or on this show? Like,
touche.
Maybe that moment, even though it was like gratuitous kissing or whatever, that moment was there to tell us something about Alex's character more than about Kat, because Alex has been underutilized. The kiss didn't need to happen, but it did tell us something about what kind of friend Alex is.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, so we talked about this a little bit already, but they have the whole Scarlet event.
Betty Who was there, so that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick sort of saw through Kat's, like, quote-unquote baby dyke speech.
Yeah.
And she spills everything to him about how she's been feeling and what she's been going through. And he, like, actively encourages it. And he's like, that's the speech you should have given. And so I just have to say, at this point in the episode, like, with all the little tidbits of him we'd been getting, I was like, you know what? He seems like he's a good mentor so far. I'm liking him. I have tentative approval of Patrick as a character.
I'm a little skeptical because I actually don't think he should force Kat to do things that she doesn't want to do. Like, if someone wants to be private about the pain they're in, you kind of have to give them the space to do that. And so, I don't know, maybe some of it was me thinking like, you know, I get that this is like a good strategy, like selling authenticity. But I also feel like even authenticity is performative. And when you're using that to like get followers, it just felt a little bit like, oh, I just felt a little bit icky. But maybe that's just because I feel that way around like social media about the ickiness of things.
No, I feel that too. I mean, as a private person myself, I was like, oof, that's not something I'd be comfortable with. But I think that he was speaking as someone who, you know, semi knew Kat as a person, like just from her social media presence pre-Paris, knowing that she's not afraid to share, you know, a lot.
That's true.
And I think he meant it not really as like a, oh, this is a way to get you more followers, but like, you know, like almost as like a coping mechanism, you know, like just be more authentic. Mm. You don't need to fake happiness on social media. You just like need to be you. And I do think that if Kat had been like, oh, you know, that's not really like, thank you for that, but that's not really something I'm like comfortable sharing. I just need to like process on my own. I don't think Patrick would have been like, no, you need to, you know, I think Kat herself is the type of person who like wants to do that, you know?
Totally. Totally. So this then inspires Kat to do an Insta story where she's not wearing makeup mm-hmm. and she's standing in front of the mirror and she talks about all the pain that she's in right now.
Yeah.
I thought that was beautiful. I really like that.
I like that
It was
too.
So raw and bold. Of her.
nice.
Of her to do that. And I think what it also was like, yeah, she knows that Adina's watching. And maybe she doesn't have to pretend with Adina that she's doing okay if she's not.
Yeah.
So she posts this very like authentic, raw story to her social media account and uses the hashtag #BeReal. And it starts a trend of other people mm-hmm. being real too. And one of those people who responded was Adina.
I know. It hurts for me too. Hashtag #BeReal. Yeah. And posted a picture of the two of them. I know. I was like,
oh my God.
I couldn't believe it. And it was while Jane and Sutton were helping Kat pack up Adina's things to ship.
Yes.
And then she sees this. They were like, oh, you know, you should look at the comments. Like, you've been helping other people too. And so she scrolls through and sees Adina's comment. Oh, that really hit home for me. I was like, wow,
this
is like a beautiful moment. Really, really well-written storyline. I was into it for sure. For sure.
So, so painful. If you remember when we did our like top five fantasy girlfriends, Adina was ranked lower than you expected for me, Amira. And it was because
it's true.
We found out at the end of season 2 that she's a workaholic. And for me, that's a huge turnoff. The minimal interactions that Kat is having with Adina, like the sort of text message of, can you mail me my stuff? Or like, we'll always have Paris. And she responds always. And then like, it hurts for me too. Oh, like that is the Adina that I initially fell in love with, the one who's like caring and thoughtful and like honest.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the sort of fantasy that I had about her. And I think lots of fans had about her. She's this amazing artist who pulls the realness out of Kat, even when Kat puts on that sort of shield that blocks people out. And that was what was so special about their chemistry, that she pulled things out of Kat that needed to be pulled out. And now Kat is out and she like knows herself. She's like a black queer woman now. And she wasn't that when they first met. And I think that the distance between like fantasy and reality is like really painful, because we know that Adina is this amazing woman. And yet the reality is they can't be together. The reality is that Kat wants all in Adina, and Adina can't give that to her.
Right, right.
And it's like when you're still in love with your ex, and it's because you know this one thing can't be overcome. It's not like either one of them wanted to have their hearts broken. They like, they realize that there's a fundamental incompatibility, at least right now.
It's just like Alex and Maggie on Supergirl, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One person wants kids. The other person definitely doesn't want kids. That's it. It's a deal breaker. They know that they're incompatible and it's crushing for both, but they can't be together. Yeah. And I think that's probably what makes it a more amicable relationship, because it's in no fault. There's no fault in each person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like realizing they can't be together.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's pretty admirable of Kat, honestly. One could take offense. I don't know. I just feel like Adina like prioritizing her work and her art over a relationship with someone and like not finding a way to just make them both work, I feel like is very – it's almost a little like cold.
Yeah.
You know, and like maybe she just wasn't that into Kat to begin with.
I've been thinking a little bit about that. There's a line in the season 2 finale where – Adina says yes to going to Paris, and she's sitting on Kat's lap. And and then Kat says, I think this will be so good for us, a chance to reset. Without us realizing that like they were like actually going to reset, but away from each other, right? I just rewatched the season 2 finale Kadena scenes before recording this, so I could have fresh in my memory how amazing Adina looked in her final scenes. Like she comes out in this like bold satin red flowy top, and her eyes are like glassy because she and Kat are having this conversation where they both sort of are reaching the same conclusion that it's not going to work out. And Adina says, look, maybe there's a way for us to just have more space. And Kat says, we tried that. And it turns out with you, I can't do it halfway. And I wish that Kat would just reevaluate that a little more. Like, what does halfway really mean? Can you not be with Adina and still give her some space to like have more of a career? And Adina, can you not repeat the same mistake you made with Coco, which was to work and travel too much to actually be with somebody, right? Like both of them have to like meet in the middle somehow. But like right now, they're not ready to do that.
So really, it is almost more like Tibet than I initially thought, except, I mean, they're not going to follow Adina's storyline and growth, which I think is a huge mistake.
Mistake.
Yeah, I feel like Adina needs to figure out, if you're going to prioritize your work that much, then maybe you shouldn't even be seeking out relationships in the first place.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of wasting people's time if you need to spend that much time on your work to be happy and feel like you're being fulfilled in your work. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with not wanting a relationship right now, but like, you know, it's like conflicting interests. And so like, if you can't find a way to balance it, you shouldn't like waste other people's time. So I'm hoping that Adina is like learning that now.
That's one thing that I also find disappointing about her as a character. The way that she talked to Kat, it was as if she wanted another Coco. And she complained about how the dynamic she had with Coco was so different because they were always traveling, always working, and only saw each other for a few weeks at a time. Okay, so Adina, you do know how to make your career flourish while you're in a relationship. It just sucks because you're not around for the other person. And so it's disappointing that she's not coming around to that. And I think you're right. If work is really going to be that much of a priority for her, she shouldn't be dating anyone seriously. If Coco was as easy as she could have had it, right? Dating somebody else in the art world where both of them have similarly hectic schedules and it still wasn't enough, then why are you bothering looking for someone like Kat who wants even more, right?
Right. Yeah. No, that's totally valid. Yeah. On another note though, I am feeling Kat's hair this season.
Oh my God, the braids. Yes.
She looks good.
She looks fine.
Yeah.
I love it because it's also her owning her blackness more. It is just like, it is sexy. It is fun. It is like, I've outgrown my old haircut. This is the new me post breakup.
I was living for it. And I'm sorry, I don't know. I have like a couple of like sort of extra side notes like post episode. So that was the first one. The second one, not to focus on like the cishet whites, but I was like noticing that Richard and Sutton are like showing some stereotypically gay couple signs, like big age difference, hiding their relationship because they're afraid of what people will think, moving in together after a month of seriously dating. I mean, come on. That's like borderline appropriation at that point. But, you know, it's funny because there's a stereotype that like gay people, specifically lesbians, move in together very quickly. But, you know, as I've gotten older and, you know, gone through life, I have noticed anecdotally that straight people move pretty fast.
Oh my God. Straight people like Richard move really fast. It's like he's so set out on being cookie cutter, you know?
Oh, I know. He's a little bit too much. But I feel like even like straight people in real life, I'm constantly like, you know, some of my friends or coworkers, like they'll move in together quickly. People get married really quickly. I mean, is that just like because marriage has been legal and normalized for them for so long that they're just like, why the hell not? Because I feel like gay people think really long and hard about that. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm just like, maybe the stereotype should change because I feel like straight people, you know, move really quickly. If anything, the stereotype should just be that gay men move really slowly.
Oh,
but
well, here's the thing. I think lesbians and straight couples move quickly, but for different reasons. Lesbians move quickly because desperate times. Like you find somebody, hold them down. That's it. That's your one shot. Okay.
That is not what I expect you to say, but I loved it.
Okay. And but when you're welcome. But when straight people nail it down, that's because they're like, oh, crap, my life is boring. The next interesting thing I could possibly do is get married. And then after that, the only interesting thing I could do is have a baby.
Right, right.
So different different motivations, same outcome, which is U-hauling.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that like they get a little bit bogged down by the, like, heteronormative patriarchy telling them, like, oh, okay, you date a guy for a while, and then you should expect him to propose. Like, obviously, I'm saying it from the girl's point of view, and, like,
yes, yes.
The guy is, like, you know, whatever, the other side. And then it's like, okay, and then you get married. And it's not really like, are you happy in this relationship? Like, like, do you think that you two are compatible? Is this, like, someone that you actually want to have a family with? Or do you just think that you should?
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things.
It's like one of those video games where you pass the level, so all you have left to do is make it to the next level.
Right. Yes, just going through the motions.
But, like, the better video games are the ones where the path could be totally different depending on what route you choose, right? Instead of, like, I beat this level, now I'm on to the next level, baby number one, the next level, baby number two, next level, grandchildren, you know?
Right, right.
Instead, like, I think queer people, we're like, look at all the options. There are so many choices. Every path is unique and different. That's the difference between, like, heteronormative life and life as a queer person.
Plus, it moves a lot faster when you can have a baby for free.
That's like, true.
In your own home. It's not like you have to, like, plan it out, save up money for it, like, you know, figure out who's going to do what parts. It's like, anyway, whatever. Enough about that. I was, like, a little bit shocked by that storyline, to be honest. I mean, but I'm curious to see what direction this is going, because I'm still really into Jacqueline and I don't want them to, like, head towards writing her off the show. I'm, like, a little bit confused about the point of hiring this new guy and then being like, oh, surprise, he's actually a great person. And, like, you know, it's weird to me.
Aisha D has teased about Kat getting a new love interest in this season. Oh my God, that's going to spell so much drama, because I don't know how the Kadena shippers are going to take it. I don't know what to expect. I do think it's important for Kat to explore her queerness. And this was something you said in our season two finale podcast episode recap as well, that, like, we really need to see Kat, like, figuring out what it means to be a queer person. And that might involve dating other people, even if the new person she dates is not endgame. And, you know, if she does end up with Adina, and I hope we do see more of Adina, she's going to have to, like, be in the community, figure out how to navigate queer friendships. Because the problem with her relationship with Adina is that Adina was her everything. Adina was her queer outlet, was her queer connection, was her queer friend, was her queer partner. She was all the things. And I think that's a lot to put on one person. But Kat having the opportunity to date other people, but, like, date them and not just, like, sleep with them, could be very healthy for her and help her move to a place where she could potentially end up with Adina again.
Yeah. And I think that I would love for, I mean, I know this is a stretch because we, like, never see this on TV, but I would love for her to actually get, like, some queer friends. Like, you know, Jane and Sutton can still be, like, her main BFFs or whatever, but, like, Kat needs to be, you know, amongst her own in some ways. And, like, I know the bar scene is kind of, like, the only place that queer people can really meet each other, but I want it to be, like, beyond just, like, clubbing, you know? Like, I want to see, like, queer hangouts in, like, non-drinking spaces, not, like, nightlife spaces.
Yeah.
And I want to see her, like, forming those connections.
Mm-hmm. She needs to be at, like, spoken word night. Like, you know, like, that's what we need.
Like Charmed.
That Charmed episode, like, the spoken word. But, like, you know how it is when, like, queer poets get together and they do spoken word. It's just, like that, you know?
Right, right, right.
I don't know if we'd ever get that far, and I don't know how many queer women there are in the writer's room, but, like, the awkwardness of meeting other queer women – I want all the awkward. I want the uncomfortable awkwardness. Not like remember that scene where she, like, starts flirting with that girl at the pool table and then suddenly they're making out? I'm like, hashtag unrealistic. Like,
right.
It would have been way more awkward than that, okay? There's no way. There's no way that would happen that smoothly without a whole lot of social fumbles along the way. So I hope we get some of that. Like, Kat is not going to go from baby dyke to, like, smooth talker Shane. Yeah, we need all the stuff in between, including, like, figuring out how to be less awkward.
I feel like baby dykes, like, bottom baby dykes, especially, just, like, don't have that kind of confidence and swagger just yet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she only just started eating pussy. Like,
yeah. Who does she think she is?
I know, right? anyways, we've got a lot to look forward to with the rest of season three. And we're going to continue to recap as long as they continue to give us Kat's queerness.
Yes.
On the show. But if you have thoughts about the drama or Kadena, I've noticed that our listeners know a lot of stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
If you want to share details with us, feel free to like tweet at us at QWOCship or DM us on Twitter or Tumblr or wherever with any juicy details you might have. But be careful. Spoilers. Spoilers. Yeah. But
we really just want to know the tea, you know, like it's like those things when you like when you go online and you're like, oh, my God, I missed something. I don't understand what it is that I missed. And so we tried to figure it out and we failed. So we would love for somebody who was in on it from the beginning, following the whole thing, knows what's going on to please let us know what was that drama during the hiatus.
We hope you're doing okay. I know this is hard for all of us. This is not easy to stomach the loss of Adina from the show, but we're sending you love while you're grieving.
Yes, we are grieving with you. It's the best support we can give.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Tune in next time.